everyone. This is Queer for the Right Reasons, Lesbian Reflections on Bachelor Nation. I'm Viriel.
I'm Ann P.
And I'm Kim K.
And man, oh man, do we have an exciting episode today. So
exciting. Happy Demi Day.
Happy Demi Day.
Happy Demi Day.
It's here.
So fast.
It's
week
here.
Three.
She's queer, people.
So let me say, first of all, as we always do every week, we are Bachelor fans.
Huge fans. But what we're bringing you here is a look at The Bachelor through a lesbian lens, because we believe that The Bachelor franchise, especially Bachelor in Paradise, is appropriating lesbian relationship dynamics. And that's what we're exploring here on our show.
In celebration of this day, we have decided to switch things up. Now, usually, just to give the little rundown, as we always like to do, we have a bunch of segments such as dating your ex's exes.
That's like, remember that time that I met that girl at the Caddy Shack and I was like, I know her. Kim used to date her, but then also Kim's roommate used to date her, and then Viri dated her. But should I date her? I think I'm going to date her.
You should definitely date her. I can tell you everything you need to know.
And then we also have a segment called U-Hauling.
Because we like to meet and fall in love fast and get committed and get a Subaru and a dog and some frozen sperm.
But because this week is so spectacular, our first segment that we always open up the show will take over our entire episode. And that segment is called Processing, which is about emotions on emotions on emotions on emotions. But before we get into processing, we do want to do a little bit of fish tacos, where we just stuff everything else we're thinking about the week.
We got to fuel up, people.
Bye, Onyeka. Bye, Wills. Bye, Jordan. Bye, Christian. We lost so many people. So many people are gone.
So many people.
Is Kevin gone?
Who's Kevin?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Cam is gone.
That's fine. I'm fine with that. That's fine.
There was this great conversation that came up last week about masculinity. And not to get too serious before we get into the good stuff, but I thought it was fascinating about the whole concept of Nicole saying that she wished these guys would, you know, quote unquote, fight for her and be a little more aggressive. I mean, that was literally the term Clay used. Mm-hmm. And then we opened this whole episode with this fight where Jordan body slams Christian. And then Nicole proceeded to share that although she had asked for that, it now scared her.
It reminds me of something that I think about on a near daily basis, which is the intolerable bind that straight women spend their lives in, that they feel compelled to be drawn to these men who demonstrate this, for me, seems like this very overly simplistic, like Neanderthal embodiment of strength. Like they're into that. They're like into like tough dudes.
Well, I think they think they need to be. Or they think that they want to be.
But then when they show that toughness, like it's always the worst. It's like disgusting. It's insecure. It's showy. It's awful.
It's scary.
They're completely insignificant to these men. Yeah. Yes. And if memory serves, Mike said, hey, if someone does that, just be G about it. And I was like, Mike, that is exactly right. If someone does that, and by that he meant Jordan attacking Christian and Christian attacking back, just be G about it. And I was like, yes, just be G about it. What does being G about it mean?
Gay?
I don't know, but I loved it. And I'm going to continue to be G about it.
Yeah. Well, so maybe he meant be gay about it, and by gay,
maybe
he
gay
meant,
about
like,
it.
Talk about be gay about it, guys. Like talk about your feelings. Go shopping. Drink some Shardy. Get over it.
Oh, I love it. Just be G about it. Just be G about it. He said this also all while stealing Viri's style. Did you see both Mike and Dean were wearing their buttoned all the way up to the very tippy top? Just like our friend Viriel.
The best way.
Lesbian appropriation, once again. It's very 2019 that we are seeing such extremes here. You look at guys like Mike and Derek who could be giving TED Talks on like being a good dude.
Such solid dudes.
And then you're seeing this far extreme of this obviously ubiquitous but culturally outdated toxic masculinity. And they're having a zero tolerance policy about it. And sending that away, you know, letting it reach a boiling point and then choosing to send it away.
Capturing it all on film and then sending it away.
Yeah. Maybe that is in service, you know? I mean,
yes.
We're seeing this light switch literally go off in Nicole's head And we're also seeing all of that, you know, broken Mayan pottery. So
yeah, I think I love
lessons
that
have been learned.
Let me tell you that lesbians cannot tolerate broken indigenous terracotta. I can't take it.
I was weeping.
I could devote this entire episode to that terracotta pot.
Absolutely. And all the upcycling we could do with that broken terracotta.
Oh, my God. And then give all the proceeds back to the indigenous artisans
but of course,
who made it.
Yes. Or those Aztec warriors, as they were called on
the that herd of them.
I just think one of the most fascinating parts of Monday night was Christina's like Russian KGB mind game giving Blake the rose. Ooh. First, I was like, oh, God, have some self-respect. And then I was like, oh, you are devilish and brilliant. Make him watch it? Yes. I feel like I'm watching Bachelor in Paradise and The Americans all at the same time, but with less wigs.
Did you have any thoughts about Nicole singing to your man, Clay?
I never want to think speak about Nicole singing to Clay ever again. Thank you. Goodbye.
And she had to write it down?
No. No.
I was shocked. I think I spotted my very first book in paradise.
What was it?
I don't know, but I'm going to ask our intern if she will find it and freeze frame it and get some intel. Blake is like alone moping, and next to him is a book, and it's a thick book. I didn't think they were allowed to read.
I didn't think they knew how to read.
Oh, trick.
That also crossed my mind, but I feel like they're forced to be bored. You know?
Yes.
I thought that JPJ and Tayshia's real talk was hilarious and fantastic.
Another truth spoken, that Tayshia is, quote, the hottest girl I've ever talked to. Yeah, absolutely she is. She's the hottest girl anybody has ever talked to.
Please.
Thank you for stating the fucking obvious, JPJ. And I'm glad somebody recognized it.
True that.
She is a full-time babe.
That face, that hair, those hands, those boobs, all of it.
Those boobs. Not to objectify you, Tayshia, but those boobs.
But just for a quick sec, we're going to objectify you just a second.
Just like feminist on feminist objectification here, girl.
Yes, it's called appreciation.
Mm-hmm. How funny was it when Blake and Katie were laying there and he's like, I thought America would see my fun side. And she's like, well, they're going to call me a bitch.
He can't stop talking about thinking about how the world is seeing him. And yet he's not changing a bit of his behavior. And it's, AP, I've been dying to ask you this from the second it happened. Blake said that it's time he forgive himself.
Yes.
And based on what you said in our first episode, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
I did have a reaction to that, and I was sort of very, like, loving on Blake then, because I definitely, in this group, I'm not completely tired of Blake because I am hypnotized by his long torso dancing. In order to show true gentleness and compassion to one another, we have to begin by showing gentleness and compassion to ourselves.
To absolutely despicable, douchey dudes.
Because you know what? We all got a despicable, douchey dude someplace inside of us.
Oh, boy.
Right? And
I've been a despicable
dude.
We've all been despicable.
I remember
the late 90s. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, we were all there. Times were not cute. We were making bad choices. We were hurting women's feelings.
Oh, 100%.
It was not good.
All right, guys. Yeah. Let's do this. Let's get into processing.
Trying to read the Greek upon the stars, the alphabet of feeling.
Whoo, so much to unpack.
I have feelings. And I'm so ready to talk about those feelings.
You guys, we had a lot of processing. We had Hannah B. and Demi. We had Derek and Demi. We had Chris and Demi. We had Derek and Demi. We had Christian and Demi.
We had everybody talking about the processing that was going on, processing Demi's mood.
I'd like to cover gay shame and the straight assumption that all gays have gay shame. Also, the straight celebration of queer bravery. That was making me have a lot of feelings, and not all of those feelings were very charitable. So many of the conversations that preceded Christian's arrival were with straight people entering into conversation with Demi, presuming that she was living with profound paralyzing shame.
We have to remember that there are so few queer narratives that are out in the world. And those that are out in the world are almost all tragedy porn. They're all coming out stories, conversion therapy stories, right? So like what we have been allowed to put out into mainstream media about the queer experience are these sad stories, right? And we're only now starting to tell stories about queer people living holistic lives. I think also you don't have to be ashamed of your queerness to be nervous about how it will be received. She's, you know, the first American member of the Bachelor franchise to come out as fluid. And I think that that's really scary. And I think they probably all see more the significance of what it takes to speak any kind of truth, but especially a truth that's so often persecuted in such a public space, because they all are sharing that experience of living so publicly. So I agree, because I don't have gay shame. I had a real easygoing coming out myself. And I think that we have a lot more stories to tell, but I understand why that's the perception, because we have only been able to share a small portion of ourselves with the world.
I did feel like there were like too many scenes about her having the same conversation. It was so clear that Bachelor was tiptoeing near PSA after school special space.
Yes.
When Chris Harrison talked to her, when he was like, thank you for sharing your truth. That whole thing did feel very delicate, white gloved.
But also in the same awkward way that he talks about everything. Like, her truth could have been about, like, a yeast infection, and he would have said that.
That's a valid point. That's a valid point.
Or, like, a blister from a strappy sandal. Like, I feel like it all has exactly the same weight for him.
That's
fine.
You
know what I mean?
That's fine.
I stand by that. I think Derek has done a tremendous job navigating dating someone who's dating other people, dating someone who is fluid, doing it all on national television, protecting his brand. He has done a great job. Props to you, dude. But I predict, and as I already see it happening, for example, on Wells' Instagram, hashtagging immediately after this episode, you know, Derek for Bachelor.
Yes.
The kind of like, who has earned this more than this guy who got left for a woman and got through it like a champ and was such a great ally, that we continue to celebrate the straight experience of a queer journey more than the queer experience of a queer journey.
Amazing.
It's a fucking epidemic. It makes me think of one of, I think, like, my proudest moment of a fellow queer person was Sean Hayes. You know, after years of playing a gay character on television as a gay man, he received a SAG award, and he tongue in cheek talked about his bravery in doing that in response to this long history of like celebrating straight actors for playing gay characters.
Yes.
And I think that this is part of that same narrative.
Kim K, this is exactly why we are all friends. I wrote this exact thing down. I said that this continues to centralize straight goodness and continues to only position queerness in relationship to straightness, which completely erases the notion that lesbianism specifically exists fully independently of straightness, giving birth to such like knock down the house book titles like Surpassing the Love of Men. It reminds me of how during June, when straight folks will fly pride flags just to show their general straight awesomeness, there's definitely heavy attention paid to Derek and what a solid guy he is, which feels like a complicated thing because he is a solid guy and he's demonstrating real compassion and self-compassion and real
and there's rarity
and
of that
really embodies
representation.
Beautiful masculinity.
Right.
It's also interesting because, of course, this is edited. So on one hand, I'm like, ugh, again, I feel icky. Maybe this guy said some totally douchebag, gross shit. Who knows? Maybe he wasn't this great. Or maybe he had moments where he stumbled more and they edited it out. And how do I feel about that? Or am I really grateful that they showed this wonderful model of allyship?
I did come out of this thinking about how great Derek was. And I think a part of that was because he's not sitting there with his friend that just came out to him. He's sitting there with his love interest saying that to him.
Yeah.
And the way that he handled that.
But like every single person on this television show has been left for somebody else. So this is not a new experience. Every person who is on Bachelor in Paradise was on Bachelor or Bachelorette where they were dating someone who was dating 30 other people.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
The experience that he is having and him navigating it is admirable
the show.
For anyone.
Right.
It is he had an admirable reaction for anyone navigating somebody dating two people. What is special and unique about it is that she was dating two people of two different genders and that's not happened on the show. And that is an experience not everybody has. But his journey is not the hard journey here. Her journey is the hard journey here.
Right.
Derek was really cast and was really edited as a real hero of this story. Yeah. But what I appreciated is that they didn't pair the casting of Derek as hero with the casting of Christian or Demi as dyke villain. So I appreciated that.
Correct.
I don't appreciate the casting of Derek as hero, but at least I didn't take it.
Or the casting of Christian at all?
Okay, good question. I would like to bring this up right now. What was your reaction when she said, so we're going to stay here?
My GF and I had long conversations about how we imagine this played out. And here's my best guess. And when Chris Harrison inevitably comes on the podcast, we'll ask him to clarify. I think, if we remember, Demi committed to BIP at the Women Tell All, right? So she's been on this for a while. I think she's their biggest star in this little BIP cast off thing, right? So like they need her. I think somewhere along that line, she met Christian through another Bachelor contestant.
Oh, I don't know the story of this. Oh. I have no idea how she met her.
She met her through
the intel. Always the intel.
Guys, I avoid spoilers, but I do like a deep dive.
Oh, do tell us.
Yeah. So apparently they met through another woman who was on Colton's season, who has been friends with Christian for like 18 years. And that's how she and Demi met. So I think that relationship developed, but she still had this commitment, and this commitment is technically her job, right?
That's what I kept thinking. This is her career.
I'm sure they had some kind of conversation about, look, this is what I do, and I like you, but I'm going to go do this other thing. How much of it was kind of scripted out? I mean, she and Derek came together so very quickly that it does seem almost like he was cast to play this role.
Oh boy.
In a very specific way. And I hate to be that cynical, but I think there's a possibility. The only wrinkle in that theory is I cannot imagine he is that good of an actor.
So emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that more than likely they hoped this would be the narrative that she would find somebody that they would fall for her and that it would kind of go this direction. I too was like, oh wait, they're gonna stay on the show? God.
We were like, what? We paused it.
Are they going to stay? I know.
I'm excited to see it. But I'm also dying to talk about Christian.
Let's talk about her. Let's talk about her.
Should we start with the outfits?
Yeah, I think we need to really just start with double femmes.
Double femmes.
Well, no. Come on. I can't imagine in real life. I mean, I guess I could go on Instagram and figure it out. But do you think I do... She walked down that little steps, down those, or turned around on those steps. And Annie and I were like, they just like ripped the ponytail holder out of her hair. And they were like, here's this awkward halter. And they are technically pants, but it looks like a dress. Put this on and we're throwing you out there because we can't let you out there in your like cargo shorts and polo.
I mean, she had that energy. She had that energy.
She definitely has like Florida lesbian energy.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes, 100%. I was like, is this actually femme on femme or is this a butch lesbian or a futch lesbian who they have put in a lot of halters with no bras?
As a butch, there was a little part of me that was sad that we weren't getting to see a butch. My partner kept saying, she looks just like Hannah G. And I'm like, yeah, she does look like Hannah G.
Yeah.
You know, we have these two very pretty blondes, but that's fine. Like, that's who she fell in love with, and that's what she looks like, and they're beautiful, and that's great. It just felt like still the safest passageway. Can you imagine if a full-blown, large butch walked down on that beach with a tie? I'm always sensitive to that, but that's only because I'm seeking to see women who look like me. So it's hard because they don't exist on TV. And so then when you hear a woman found love with another woman, by no means should I assume that it's with an old butch or something that I believe I am. But when that girl walked up, I thought, well, this was an easy choice for the producers.
But like, that's the show that we need to stage. This old butch. Like, that's what we need to do. Like, but like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette starring this old butch. Yeah.
I'm sorry. It sounds like a renovation show.
Sure does.
First of all, it can be part renovation.
In some ways it is.
It's we're going to fix her softball elbow and her rugby knee.
If it weren't a rose, what is this old butch handing out to her choices each week?
I love it.
Oh, a socket wrench.
Oh. We're just going to go there.
Screwdriver?
Good luck. Don't lose it.
What are some of the dates on this old butch?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of crossover because we lesbians, we love a hot tub.
That's true.
We love to be in a hot tub with pubes down to our knees because no one's grooming. I don't have time for that. I did have a question about this. When Christian arrived, she said to Demi, I've never been in a relationship like this ever. And I have the following questions. What sort of relationship? Do you mean a relationship with a woman? A reality show person? With a blonde?
I think what Christian was saying was, I have never been in a situation where I'm dating someone, they leave, go on a TV show to date someone else, and then I'm asked to come and date them publicly on a TV show. I think that is probably a unique experience.
Yes.
That seems unusual. I thought we'd all done something like that before.
Yeah. I'm glad she clarified she'd never done it before. She wasn't like, guys, I also did the Great British Baking Show and I totally dated my cupcake companion.
Stop it.
We frosted all night long.
Ooh-wee. In the British countryside.
I want to celebrate this representation on like this big mainstream primetime heterocentric show. And at the same time, I am just terrified because I don't trust the people in charge to handle this the way I hope that it will be handled. As lacking as representation is on camera of queer people in television, it's equally lacking off camera. Behind the scenes, in writers' rooms, behind cameras, as producer, you know, like in all of those spaces, there's not enough queer representation. So one, I hope there's a lesbian producer somewhere on the staff.
Oh, true.
But if we were the producers, what dates would we be planning for Demi and Christian? Because the date they had, no.
No, they were not in a hot tub. They were sitting at the edge of a pool.
Yeah, that was a fail. And that meal wasn't even vegan. So what dates would we send them on?
Okay, lesbian-centric dates.
Folk festival. You know, usually they have like some unknown country singer, but I think in this case it's unknown, struggling, acoustic, lesbian folk singer.
Lady singer. I mean, I want them to go on a motorcycle. I mean, that's not brand new, but I definitely want them to go on a motorcycle.
Guys, do you mind? I've been eating a really ripe peach during this whole conversation.
That sounds about right. That sounds like a good date.
Yeah. I'm also thinking about the things that I want to do, and I'm twice their age.
Like what? What would you want to do, Aunt P?
They don't want to go to the world's longest tag sale. They don't want to go there.
They don't want to go there. An all-inclusive clothing swap?
They don't want
to
go.
What about like an eight-part documentary on genital mutilation?
I just want to go somewhere where I can wear like an aggressive visor, like a big visor. Go to a demolition derby. Well, I don't know what these people want to do.
Isn't that the date you were on yesterday?
Today? It was fantastic. But these 22-year-olds don't want to go to that.
They should be forced to like organic farm.
Protest, some form of a march. They would go make their own sign.
Women's march.
They pick up the plastic on that beach.
Yes, that's what they would
perfect.
Do.
Perfect. Beach cleanup.
Beach cleanup date.
They need to go camping
Also, kayaking. They need to go tandem biking. Yes. These are all deeply lesbian. Fanny pack shopping in a Mexican market.
Yes. I mean, Mexican market, local color.
Yes, yes. The shopping date. That. Yes.
But like, what did we want to do when we were their age? Like, we just wanted to like have bathroom sex like that. Like, that's also getting lost. Like, young lesbian libido. That's getting lost. There's a real celebration of like, you love who you love and love, love and love and love and love who you love. And I'm like, I actually don't think straight folks are frightened of like queer love. I think they might be frightened of like queer sex.
One of the problematic territories is that women with women has always been male fantasy.
Yeah.
So I don't think there is a fear of queer sex when it comes to women.
Yeah. I mean, if this was Dylan's narrative, would we have the same screen time be dedicated to two men on this show? Would we allow two men to make out on this show?
Good question.
I mean, I've been thinking so much about that. We're not there yet.
Has there been a bisexual person, a male on Bachelor ever?
I mean, I guarantee there has, but
not out.
I'm telling you, there are some capital G gay men on The Bachelor, but not out.
Okay.
Yeah. There have been some dudes on The Bachelor who have sucked some dick, but
lots of dick sucking.
Hear about it?
Yeah, correct. I can't wait.
Right,
for
and
outfits.
Like that also too. Like that also like gives me feelings. Like gives me like yuck creep feelings. Part of me is like, that's how Demi's storyline made it on this show. Is like part of it is because dudes are into it.
Yes. Yeah. I was expecting them to hold back on that makeout, and they did not.
That was a proper makeout.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of like representation on television, aside from shows that are specifically made for queer audiences, like The L Word or, you know, Looking or any of those kinds of programs, I feel like I never see queer characters make out like that on TV.
Steamy. It was steamy. It was steamy.
Yeah, steamy. It was steamy. But I think also on that date, and I think to the same point about these sensations that we are all having, like these feelings of fearfulness or apprehension, I'm also having a real strong like protective vibe. I'm coming from a very protective place because Demi on that date said,
mom,
I can't imagine spending my life with anyone other than her. And I was like, don't say that out loud here on this TV program. Because as queer folks, we are judged by a very different standard. Mm-hmm. Although we celebrate the couples who have emerged from Bachelor in Paradise, like the norm, the standard, the majority is that folks are not ending up in long-term relationships with folks that they meet on Bachelor in Paradise. A handful are, but the majority are not. It's very, very likely that Demi and Christian will not stay together, much less stay together forever. Mm-hmm. And that will be attributed to the fact that they're both women, not to the fact that they're on this show and that Demi is 24 years old.
Yeah. Correct.
So and also, young. I was like, what are you saying?
Yeah. And also, whoever she chooses to date next, people will use to define her identity. So if she now, as a fluid person, decides to date a cis man, people will label Christian as a phase or a publicity stunt or whatever. And P, you are correct that she will be judged harsher, both because of what she does professionally and because now, welcome, you are a professional queer and we love to eat our own.
It's true. And what is the future for Demi? Let's imagine that she does take this all the way.
I mean, obviously the dream is that they do a lesbian Bachelor.
Oh,
that's my dream. That's what I'm hoping for.
You're saying with Demi
all that. Yeah. With Demi, it's the batch. Of course. That's
where
they
go, because it would probably be a blend. They would do both men and women to fix our concern of if you had the gay Bachelor or Bachelorette, that all the contestants would find love with each other.
Demi did say right when she met Derek, I have to be the star. I can't be with someone as outrageous as I am. And boy, does Christian fit the bill.
Yeah.
She is quite sedate.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, of course, I was chomping at the bit. I was just like, talk more, say more. What's your story? What's happening?
She had four lines and she delivered them on repeat. And that's fine. Look, what felt really clear and authentic was this is not her comfort zone. Yes. Reality television is not her comfort zone. No. She is doing this for this person that she loves. And she's being very clear that is the only reason she's willing to do this. She felt authentically awkward.
Also, the Derek conversation when Demi was telling her and said, well, I've been with him in every way or whatever. You could see it all over her face. I mean, it was awful. It was new discovery.
Can we talk about how beautifully Demi navigated every single moment between these two people?
Yes.
Like the most skilled lesbian in the world. Like, as if she had a team of lesbian social workers at her side. Do you not feel that she navigated it super well, EP?
I do. I'm the most skilled lesbian navigating a conversation. Oh, Kim K. Oh,
I'm not talking about grammar. I'm not saying she navigated grammar well. I'm just saying she navigated feelings well and communicating well. She was like very clear and very honest with Christian, and then very clear and very honest with Derek, and checked back in on him and checked back in on her. I thought she did a really nice job.
I don't necessarily disagree, but I absolutely can see that the way in which she negotiated those conversations makes her very vulnerable, though, for critique. And the critique that Demi is only doing this for more screen time. I think that comes from a homophobic place. A really deep homophobic place, but I think it's very easy to see people would make that critique.
I just felt like, and this is obviously, we're coming from a specific lens and we are lesbians, so we're kind of hungry for this, but I, in a way, because it's just not out there. But the thing that's kind of blown me away the most about Demi is how real she feels. She's being. I mean, it's very strange. I was sitting there going, God, this is Demi from Colton's season. I was very excited to watch her because I found her very funny and quick and clever, but she's so real in these interactions. It's blowing my mind.
Nobody on any of these shows is a good actor. Almost every moment feels false, right? And forced. So what I think has been so shocking about a lot of the time with Demi is that it has felt really raw and really real. And from a person who it feels really unexpected from. She talked so much more openly these episodes about how much she has been holding back this part of herself. Like that this has been going on and she has been covering up this aspect of herself for a long time. Earlier in the season, I thought, these are very new feelings or a new experience, you know? But it seems like she's wrestled with this for longer, and probably some of what we knew of her at the beginning was very much a kind of facade to protect that, as I think often is when like queer people are not yet out as queer.
But I think that was, when she was in Colton's season, she really was cast and was behaving like an asshole.
Yeah, she was the villain.
And I think that, right, she absolutely was. And I think we can all remember some pre-coming out days of our own. And that when you were in, and even if that was just in, if you're
preschool,
only
when I was
closeted
in preschool.
And very, remember those times, Kimmy? Remember you were such a dick. But even in like those places where you were only out in like some settings, like I'm just more of a dick when I'm not authentically myself, when you're not completely and entirely yourself.
I feel like the stuff that feels like real inauthentic was all the like, I'm walking around in a bathrobe and I'm not here to make friends. And, you know, like all that kind of like really showy stuff. Now looking back, you're like, well, that makes a lot of sense if you're uncomfortable with who you are and you're trying to present a different version of your true self to the world, you know?
Yeah, because you're not here to make friends if friendship requires you being a true and complete version of yourself. And if being a true and complete version of yourself gets you kicked off this damn show, then you're absolutely not there to make friends.
It's true.
Now, okay, who do we want to ship Derek with? Because I think there's some real good ladies for him on this beach.
Yes.
Now, he's probably going to do his best not to fall in love so that he can be a contender for The Bachelor.
Which, Kim, you always have the intel, but today I looked up some intel on who was in the running for that. And they said Mike is, and Peter. No, sorry, sidebar.
No,
don't want to watch Peter.
Absolutely not. No way.
Only Mike.
Let me tell you something. Only Mike.
All right, but sorry, continue.
Mike. Let me tell you something, though. Straight women love Peter.
Why?
They think he's marriage material, and they think he's daddy material. He has a job, which we've all said, that sets him miles apart from most people.
No one
on
this damn show has a job.
Yeah. Nobody has a job.
He's just a person with a face.
That's exactly.
Now, as you guys know, I have to keep cheat sheets of everybody's faces because we are at such a disadvantage trying to do this podcast because for me, and I'm guessing for you too, all dudes look exactly the same.
Correct.
They're like a blurry torso. Exactly. They're just a blurry torso.
So true.
I know they have just like faces and hands and feet that are too big.
Yeah.
So would you watch a season of Derek as The Bachelor? Or would you feel like...
Yes, I would. Of course.
I'm always going to watch every season of
The
Bachelor.
We watched Chris Soules. Like, we will watch anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we will suffer through the most boring of Bachelors. We've done it.
I watched Ben
again
Higgins.
And again. I was going to say, I watched Ben Higgins, and Ben Higgins keeps getting shows.
You guys, Ari.
We watched Ari. Oh, we watched Ari.
Let's wrap this up and share our most lesbianic moments. I mean, it's kind of a trick question this week.
This gives us a chance to just relax. We got to make a lot of lazy observations because there was just so many of them.
What's yours, Ampy?
Mine is that even in her darkest hour, Demi served as Katie's counsel. I thought really bringing some sort of like, true, just sort of sisterhood, show up, listen, bear witness.
That's
even
true.
When you're having a rough one. That felt like a peak lesbian moment for me.
We salute you, Demi.
I dig it.
I think that the most lesbian moment for me was also a moment of like deep universality, which was Onyeka saying, you know, why does no one want me? I felt so sad for her. But I also think that it's an experience that is especially like deep and profound for the queer person, because they are often the only queer person, especially if you are a teenager, if you're young in your life and you're maybe in a place that doesn't have a lot of other queer people, and that feeling of everybody else is being asked out on dates and is being pursued and I am not. While Onyeka is not queer, she is a dark-skinned Black woman on a show that celebrates a very different standard of beauty. And I felt really aligned in her feelings there. Yeah, I'll miss you, Onyeka.
Lovely.
I don't know what I should do now. Our lesbianic moments in our first two episodes, some of them were very minor, some were very large, some were thematic, some were physical, some were articles of clothing.
Yeah.
So this week when I was watching, all of a sudden when they had that beautiful campfire going, I thought, oh, that is my home. I mean, if I'm by a campfire, that's where it's at. I can't claim campfires as lesbian, but I can say that they are vital to the lesbian experience.
Absolutely. Give Chris Bukabowski
that guy
an acoustic guitar and let Dylan sing some Anita Franco, and we are there.
And that's it.
Did you guys notice that Nicole screamed out the words fish tacos just randomly in the middle of the episode?
Did not.
She's our biggest fan. She's been listening.
She knows. She knows what's up.
She was just like watching Clay work out, and all of a sudden she was just like, fish tacos!
She knew we were going to talk about it. Yeah. All right, well, we have a whole season now. Demi's going to be around. Christian's staying on the show, and we're going to keep on rolling.
We are on Twitter at QFTRR. We are on Instagram at Queer for the Right Reasons, and we are at queerfortherightreasons.com.
And if you guys can always reach us at queerfortherightreasons@gmail.com if you have thoughts, if you want to share ideas, hopes, dreams, and especially if you would like to, you know, pitch in and produce this old butch.
Auditions are now open.
We're now auditioning.
Send a picture.
Contestants, cast members to date yourself. Our next butch.
And of course, as our podcasts go, it's not, you know, not every episode will be all Demi. We still realize the lesbian framing of everything happening on this show.
Like, I'm excited next week to really talk about the word palapa.
Yes.
Let's step into the palapa. Please meet me in the palapa. So we'll see you next week in the palapa, here and queer.